Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. Y'all know I am crunchy mama to the max, but when it comes to seasonal allergies, I don't play. I can't afford to. Y'all, I've had the worst seasonal allergies my entire life. I have missed out on so much of the spring because I've had to stay inside while people are outside having fun. I've gone on these amazing retreats and literally just looked out the window watching people have the most amazing time. Because my allergies can't do it. I am straight up, I just can't do it. My eyes get itchy and red and watery. I can't keep makeup on. My nose drips. My throat gets clogged up. And I'm telling y'all, my face swells. It gets itchy. I really, really need support and help when it comes to seasonal allergies. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so that you can breathe better. I am pregnant right now, so I'm not able to take it. So please, you guys, if you have seasonal allergies, for my sake, go get some and experience what it's like to breathe a little bit. I've taken Claritin D for so much of my life. When I'm not pregnant, I do take it. It's so, so helpful. Ready to live as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Did you guys know also that having sex actually bonds? There's something chemically that happens in your brain, and you're going to grow more attracted to the person that you're having sex with.
If you knew that your body was not the thing that would get you married, what would you do differently?
It felt like so much was riding on me changing my body. It really does come down to this false sense of control. What's up, y'all? Welcome back to another episode of Call Her Holy. I'm Laura Eldridge.
And I'm Nicoletta Bradley.
I'm feeling really genie in a bottle today.
With like, your outfit?
Hi, pony.
Isn't that like a, I don't know, I'm just like imagining you in front. Like,
I dream of genie, like, I'm just going to start. I mean, is that what she does?
Is that Christina?
Christina was definitely genie in a bottle. Yeah.
Okay, that was like a little bit before. I feel like Christina, you're 33.
I'm 33.
Christina was like cool.
Yeah.
But I feel like she was just 1 or 2 years above me.
Did you do Britney?
Okay, maybe I'm lying. Maybe because my mom didn't let me watch those things growing
up. Okay, that's
up,
really good. Because like listen, some of the things that I look back and realize, like the songs that we were singing, like with the taste of your lips, I'm on a ride. You're toxic. I'm slipping under. Like some of the lyrics.
I did love that
and
song though.
Songs that we were singing, I'm like.
Okay, but even like Disney movies, you watch Shrek backwards, it's so inappropriate, which I love.
I think
they
do that for the parents.
Fair enough.
But sometimes, no, Colby and I, as we're watching movies with Oakley, we'll look at each other and be like, say, what?
I'm kind of here for it though. It's funny when you look back, you're like, I totally deny it. See that as a kid.
We should do a whole thing on media and like, what's the line as a Christian for watching that stuff, going to those things?
Girl, I'm here for it. You lead, I follow. I feel like I watched The Bachelor.
I went to Olivia Rodrigo. So we're both like, we both have stains on our like list.
Dude, no, Bachelor, probably, top tier. Morning. Top tier, I was going
to
say.
I know. And I didn't even really want to highlight that I went to Olivia Rodrigo. It was a situation where like, honestly, I probably should have researched some more.
Yeah.
So she recently came out saying, hey, a portion of my ticket sales for North America are going to support abortion. And
dang.
I think a couple things. I think one, that's so messed up. And I think there is something to when people rise up, like the whole Target thing, the whole Bud Light thing, and they say, we're not okay with this. We're boycotting. I think there's power in that. I think another thing is that we don't realize mostly all of the places we're spending our money are supporting things that we don't support as Christians.
Yeah.
You know, so you have to decide where's the breakdown. And I think we can like start shaming people like you did this, you went to this and they do this and you spent your money here and they're giving a portion to that and you went to that and they're doing this. And it's, you could come back and say like, did you go to Target this month? You know what I mean? Yeah. Did you like, you could just come back with so many different things and say like, hey, they also are supporting things that you don't believe in and we don't believe in anyways. But I did consider emailing Ticketmaster and just, I didn't pay for my ticket.
Okay.
This was not like a premeditated, I want to go to Olivia Rodrigo.
Totally.
Like some friends literally were like, hey, we have an extra ticket. Get in. You're coming. I'm like, great. So it was really chill.
I literally had no idea where. Did you like not show that you were going when you went?
Not intentionally. Like, so what happened is I was like, I'm going to a concert. And then we were just having so much fun that I never posted about it.
Okay. Cause I was like, where'd she go?
I know. And I posted like our little text that said it, but we were just being present in the moment and having
good,
fun.
As you should be.
I know. And so then I was like, yeah, I feel like I've done that a lot this week, not posting, but whatever.
Hey, honestly, yeah. It's so nice to get off your phone.
Yeah, I know.
Like really. Literally just take a break.
Yeah.
You don't have to be on. I did that when I was in Costa Rica. I just was like, get off your phone. Yeah. Be present with the people you're with.
I'm so proud of you. I'm going to ask you about that in a second. But to wrap this up, I did consider emailing Ticketmaster and just saying like, hey, we didn't know that a portion of our funds are like publicly being announced that they're going towards something that we are adamantly against. Can we please get a refund? And so I'm that girl.
Did they email back?
Like an email the CEO girl. I haven't done it yet. I thought about that this morning.
Do it.
So I'll probably do that. But
I mean, I literally was working with the brand very, very intimately. I don't know if that's the right word. But I was like co-partnering with the brand for about 2 years. And then they sent out their Christmas email of like what their money has been going to. And it was so sad. And I was like, I don't think I can work with you anymore. Because of it. And it was such a bummer because I loved working with them. But it just was like half our proceeds are going to stuff I don't believe in it. I was depressed.
That is really sad. That was really sad. Yeah, I think that's the thing, like what you just modeled. Once you know about it, that's different.
You can't not.
And I think even charities, you got to look into the charities.
Yeah.
Because when you like click at the grocery store, do you want some of your money to go to a charity? Do you want to donate a dollar to charity? You don't know.
Glad that charity is actually supporting.
Yeah.
It's actually really important to do that when you look at churches, though.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times we go to these churches and we're like, oh my gosh, like they have great worship. They have a great pastor. But you have to read their mission statement.
Absolutely.
Like, do they actually believe in the Bible? Do they actually believe in the gospel?
And have they swayed and like on doctrine and their like.
Exactly. And so that's like a big tip. It's not only brands and all these different things, but what does your church believe in? What is the church that you're attending actually stand for? And you have to do your homework.
Did you know that there's a map that you can find LGBTQ friendly churches, AKA, and if you zoom in on Dallas, they're everywhere. They're everywhere where churches have swayed on their doctrine and said, hey, we actually don't believe what the Bible says is true here. And everyone, like we're going to move. And that's a whole, like we can open that can of worms at a different time.
Wow.
But like, it's really sad. Yeah, you got it. We got to look into stuff. And so anyways, Olivia Rodrigo, let's pray for her. And yeah, I think looking back, I probably would have done some more research. But yeah, I'll let you guys know.
Keep us updated.
Ticketmaster. I didn't pay for the ticket, but like, hey, I need to get my friend refund.
Honestly, if they do it, I would be really encouraged.
Yeah,
also, I love your nail color. Mine fell off this morning, and I'm like feeling your vibe.
Colby chose this.
Really?
He likes to choose my nail color.
Stop. What does he say? Like, hey, babe, you should go blue this week?
He also is like, he knows my look. He's like, yeah, that hairstyle doesn't look good on your face. Like, do it up. Things like that.
Does that offend you?
It does not at all.
Okay.
I actually really love that. I'm like, oh, you're so right. What offends me is when people are like, oh yeah, you just look so beautiful in either way. I'm like, trick, you lying.
Okay, but here's my question though, is that I have had guys comment on things that I wear and it's like really offended me. But then I literally had this thought yesterday of going, but I probably would want them to wear something different too. So then I was kind of like, okay, am I being a diva for like wanting them to wear something different, but then they're not allowed to tell me not to wear. But then I'm like, it's kind of a personality thing. Like,
I think you also haven't had safe relationships.
Okay, fair.
For instance, like Colby, I know like I am his sun, moon, and stars. Outside of Jesus, it's me. You know what I mean? Like fair. I don't have any question about that. And so I think there's a level of trust there. That he can say those things, you know?
Okay, fair enough.
I don't know. I think you also just have to know. But like, yeah, I think if you had a trust relationship like that.
Okay, that's fair. I'd probably be like, okay with them telling me what to wear. But I'm like, no puff sleeves.
I don't know.
No ruffles. Like, this is a personality thing. Like, I don't know if I could be someone that's like, no more ruffles, no more puff sleeves, no more frilly dresses.
Okay, that's taking it a little bit too far because that's like part of your core personality. That's like the one thing that I got right on our little.
I know. I was going to say on the top five things that you did. I'm like, that's what I mean. I mean, clearly I got literally nothing ruffles on right now. But I just was like, that's just who I am. Like, don't do this to me.
Totally.
But I guess Colby's safe, so that makes sense.
He's safe and he's sweet about it. Like, he has seen me so busted, y'all, which is this fits because we're talking about some body image stuff today. But like, he's seen me so busted and he's still like, he chooses me, you know what I mean? Over and over. And he wants to be close to me. He's not like, girl, you know?
Gosh, I don't know what that would be like. Honestly, I think that's like one of my biggest things is like, that's where I feel like the Lord's really done a lot of work in the last year. It's just really, truly being like, your body is not what makes you attractive. And it was crazy. And I just got back from Costa Rica for spring break like 2 days ago. And one of the girls, I loved this the most. She said, because I asked like, what are your biggest takeaways from the last few days? And one of the girls was like, man, that I don't need to lose weight. In my whole life, I believed I have to. And I love that. And I even was reflecting on that this morning as I was getting dressed. And I was like, how many women on a daily basis continually believe the lie, like, I need to lose weight. I need to lose weight. I need to perfect this body. I have to make it better. And that makes me really sad.
Yeah.
Because there's nowhere in the Bible that says, like, you need to lose weight. It says honor your body. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. But it doesn't say, like, tone up, be better, get skinnier. Like, the Lord is just not the God that's like, you need to look better. He's like, I care about your body. I care about your physical health. I want you to take care of this. But in nowhere in the Bible does it say you need to be skinnier. Like, the word skinny isn't in the Bible, literally.
Well, also back then, skinny was not a that was not pretty.
Exactly.
You know, like pale skin and thick girls. Like, I missed my era.
Come on.
I really missed my era. Come on. I got a spray tan on right now, though.
So. Oh, for sure. But it's actually really interesting. I wrote this, like, I need, one day I'm going to give this talk. Who knows? Maybe it'll be on this podcast. But I did a deep dive on Song of Solomon's 1. And it's all about, so if you don't know what Songs of Solomon, it's all about this beautiful love story that's literally a reflection of God's love for us. And so it's about two lovers, LOL. And it's about this man and this woman. And it was so incredible because you don't realize that she talks about body image.
Yeah,
she about does. In that first chapter. And it's about this man who walks in and is like, I praise you for who you are. But when you read the commentary, it talks a lot about this line, aroma. Like, I love your aroma. But that has nothing to do with your physical appearance. That has everything to do with your character, your personality. And so what the commentary talks about in Songs of Solomon 1 is that it's all about that they are drawn to each other because of their character. They have this beautiful love story, not because of physical characteristics, but because they're like, I see more in you and I love you. And we see that their friends praise him. So this girl's friends praise him because they're like, he is a man of integrity. He's a man who like follows his word. And then we see that in the first chapter, she goes, but I can't believe someone like you would choose someone like me because I'm dark skinned.
Yes.
And so she worked in the fields and was really tan.
Yep.
Tan was not attractive back then.
Like low wealth.
Exactly. But he's sitting here going, I don't see what you see when you look in the mirror. I see your character. I see your aroma and I'm drawn to you.
I think what also though is really sweet is he actually did go through. He's like, your neck is like the towers of Lebanon.
Literally.
Your hair is like a flock of goats. Your breasts
are like my fawns or whatever it is. I'm like, I would be really weirded out if you called my boobs fawns, but like, here we are.
Your boobs are very fawny.
They're very fawny. She knows. But what does that even mean to have boobs that are fawny? I don't even know.
I have no clue.
But he's so attracted to her body because he's attracted to her character first.
I think that's actually a really good point because people do this a lot. They think physical attraction is everything first.
Yeah.
But when you like really get to know somebody and you are so drawn to them.
Yes.
Their aroma. Their personality, their aroma, the way they carry themselves. The aroma is like scent, but like truly it can make you more attracted to them.
Absolutely.
Did you guys know also that having sex actually bonds? There's something chemically that happens in your brain and you're going to grow more attracted to the person that you're having sex with. So people like really elevate physical attraction. Or they demonize it and think it's nothing. Like they feel bad for even valuing that or whatever and think I just have to like put up with someone, you know?
Yeah. And it's just interesting. And I just reflected of like, man, God, forgive me the times that I spend more time in the gym than in your word. Forgive me for the times that I pick apart and critique something that you in Psalm 139 say is fearfully and wonderfully made. And it was crazy. So on the trip, sorry, I'm like just going into the trip, but
yeah, I was
going
to ask you these questions. So I love that you're just answering.
All right. So for those that don't know, I just went to Costa Rica and we did a Noble Spring Break. Noble is a nonprofit that I started and it is a fitness, faith, and body image ministry. And the whole purpose of it is to work out and then follow it up with a Bible study over what does the Bible say about our relationship with food? What does the Bible say about our relationship with fitness? What does the Bible have to say about our relationship with our body? And it's crazy because it actually says so much, but we just literally graze over it. And so the day before I left for the retreat, right? Also, we had 12 amazing women on this retreat. It was truly the best trip. We went to Costa Rica for 5 days, worked out, went to the beach, went on hikes, did stretch. It was just honestly amazing. Everything,
it looks so cool.
Everything that I could possibly want in a trip, I really was humbled and going, God, I mean, if you've been listening for a while, you know your girl loves to travel. You know she loves Fashion Pass. Fashion Pass literally sponsored our girls' night out. They gave us all clothes. It was amazing.
That's so sweet.
If you don't know what Fashion Pass is, use my code, Nicoletta1. It will change your life. Rent clothes. And it's like the best brands ever. But truly, we just got to make friends. We got to work out. And it was just a spring break trip that was different than your typical party spring break trip. And one of the girls texted me after and she goes, it wasn't until I went on this trip that I realized how much I actually hated the trips that I'd gone on before.
Wow.
Where it was filled with drinking, it was filled with debauchery. Like getting away and actually experiencing a trip where I didn't go to bed drunk and wake over hungover, but rather I went to bed rested is insane. And she was like, I could be myself and I was accepted. And I just was like, gosh, this is literally the purpose of it. All that to say, right before we left, I was spending time with the Lord and I felt like he whispered, read Matthew 6-7. And truly, the day before I left, was fasting and praying over it and wrote all new lessons for the week. And it was all, and if you read Matthew 6-7, it is so much about body image, yet we often don't read the Bible.
Is it about body image or does it just apply here?
It applies to it.
It applies.
One of the girls was like, it's so interesting hearing that you read scripture through the lens of body image.
Yeah.
And I really do because that was my struggle for
yeah.
25 plus yeah. years. And so what we see in Matthew 6-7 is, first off, it talks about how to pray. Mm-hmm. And it literally says, give me my daily bread. Mm-hmm. It talks about food. Mm-hmm. And it says, lead me not into temptation. And so we talked about what would it look like for you to pray that the Lord doesn't lead you into temptation around body image today, mm-hmm. That he resists the enemy's belief that what you see in the mirror is the most important thing about you, mm-hmm. and that you survive with 3 square meals. Also, give me my daily bread literally means like lay your request down at the feet of the Lord. Like, are you praying for what you want? And so for me, I wrote this list of 10 prayer requests that I was boldly praying for this trip, put it on my fridge for my roommates to see, send it out to my prayer warriors text. I'm not kidding when I say every single one of them was answered.
I love it.
Every single one of them was answered. They were just bold prayers of like, Lord, let me not struggle with body image on this trip. Let these girls not struggle with body image. Let them encounter Jesus in a new way. Anyways, and then so Matthew 6 is that. And then it talks about the eye is the lamp of the body. And it literally, I'm like, yes, a lot of it has to do with money, actually, Matthew 6-7. But you can apply it to anything. Yeah. It's like, are you storing up treasures here on earth or in heaven? If you're storing treasures here on earth where moth and rust destroy, it's literally saying, are you spending more time on your body where your body is deteriorating? Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
And there's like, an application for that exactly. applies to that. Absolutely.
And so I just feel like, and then we get to Matthew 7, it says, therefore, do not worry about your body, what you will eat or what you drink, what you wear, what you will put on. And it's this beautiful picture of, gosh, are we more consumed with what we're putting on?
Yeah.
And so anyways, I say all that to say, it just was the coolest thing. And so anyways, my favorite night of the entire trip, we did Under the Star night. And this ended up being a continual theme that we did throughout the retreat. And one of the nights, I just said, hey, I want you to write down all the lies you believe, every single lie. And then I said, I promise you, you're not going to read this out loud. So these girls got super vulnerable.
I love that.
And then I collected all of them, and then I repassed them all out. And they had to read the other girls' lies. And I was like, I told you, you weren't going to read them. But I didn't say other girls weren't. And it was truly the most powerful night of the entire trip because these girls were like, first, every girl had the same lie on their list. We're all believing the lie that we're not enough. We are all believing the freaking lie that if we were just skinnier, we wouldn't be single anymore. Like every girl wrote down that is single. If I was just thinner, I would be in a relationship.
Makes me so mad at culture. It makes me so mad.
And that was a big theme that I feel like I really tried to drill into their head because I feel like this is what God's been teaching me. Do you not realize that culture is a lie? Like, do you not realize that the things we're reading and seeing on TikTok and Instagram is a lie? You don't have to eat these certain things. You don't have to do these type of workouts in order to look a certain way. Here's the thing. Every single girl could do the same workout program and eat the exact same thing every single day, and every body would look different.
Yep.
We have got to start realizing that the Lord uniquely made our bodies and they're good. Yet we often think that only this shape is good. This size is beautiful. And it was just beautiful. So after we did that, I read them Psalm 139. And I read it over them and just said, like, you, like, I hem you in. I know your thoughts before you even have them. Before you even arise, I am with you. As far as the east is from the west. And I'm like, do you not realize that God knows everything about you and he calls you good? Like, it's not just your body, like, your personality. Nothing is a mistake. And part of me just, like, wants to read it, like, bits and pieces of it, because I'm just like, this hit different in a way that because I literally put in, like, if God read this out loud, what would he say to you? And it just was like, he has searched you and he knows you. He knows when you sit and when you rise. He perceives your thoughts from afar. He discerns your going out and your lying down. And he is familiar with all your ways. Before a word is on your tongue, he knows it completely. He hems you in before and behind, and he lays his hand upon you. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. And it just literally starts going like, where can I flee from your presence? Surely the darkness will hide me and the light will become night around me. But yet I cannot get away from you. And I love this. It just says, for you created my in. I just literally translated in this into, for I created your inmost being. Laura, Nicoletta, I knit you together in your mother's womb. And I just love that. And I'm like, your frame was not hidden from me when I made you in the secret place. When I wove you together in the depths of the earth, I saw your unformed body. All your days are ordained for you. They are written in my book before each one of them came to be. And I loved this too. The last one I'll say is that it said, how precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. And I literally go, look at the beach. Look at the beach. He has more thoughts about you than even the grains of sand right now.
Like, good thoughts about you.
Good thoughts. Literally. Like,
kind ones.
Praising you, loving you, just looks at you and is like, you are my beloved daughter. And I made the correlation. I go, if your daughter stood in front of you right now and you heard her read this list out loud, how would you respond? And these girls like got emotional and they're like, my heart would break if my baby girl read what I just wrote down. And I'm like, then why do you allow yourself to believe them? Mm-hmm. Because one, the Lord's thoughts are more than the grain of sand in their good things. Like, he looks at your body and is like, wonderful, wonderful. And that was the word I really honed in. I was like, you are wonderful. Like, when was the last time you looked in the mirror and was like, this is wonderful? Not because it looks a certain way, but because the king of the universe, who could literally split this sea, like I literally said, he could snap his fingers and that whole sea could be sucked up. He could snap his fingers. Psalm 46, it talks about how he can literally make the mountains go into the sea if he wants to. And he thinks you're wonderful. He thinks your body is wonderful. That is way more powerful than this douchebag calling you hot. And that's the thing that gives you confidence when you walk into a room. And we just got to process through going, why do you work out? And one day we only stretched and it was intentional because I was like, I want you to know that this is honoring. We are tired. We are sunburned. Some of you can't even lay down on your mat right now. You're so sunburned. And I know that some of you are probably stressed out thinking like, I need to move today. I need to work out. Why? Like, if your body's already wonderful, it changes the way you eat and it changes the way you work out. But the solution is not a thinner body. The solution is believing, holy moly. Oh my gosh, I can't believe I just said that. Holy crap, like Psalm 139, my king says I'm wonderful. Mm-hmm. And he does not make mistakes.
Yeah, I remember going through this when I was single and it felt like so much was riding on me changing my body. I remember getting upset with my mom because something didn't work out to where I wanted to go on a long run that day, and we were running some kind of errands. I was home for Christmas or something. And I look back, I've thought about this past several days. I'm like, gosh, there was so much control in me that thought, if I miss a day of this long run, that's going to delay me getting thinner, which is going to delay me getting married. That's kind of the thought process that I had without really knowing it. All I could feel was frustration in that moment of being blocked and like not being able to do my long run that day or something like that. And then it came out on other people. And it's honestly a false sense of control, because the reality is, like, I didn't have control over when I was going to get married or when some guy was going to notice me. And the guy that I was like talking to at that time was like, he was just not it in so many ways. And I didn't know that God had a blessing of not having to feel that way around a guy.
Yeah. My question also that I feel like is so good is, if you knew that your body was not the thing that would get you married, what would you do differently?
That's good.
You know what I mean? If you literally realize, like, my body actually is not powerful enough to mess up God's plan, my body is actually not in control of my relationship status, would you go to the extra workout class? Would you starve your body? If you truly, like, the Lord is like, hey, your body absolutely has no power, what would change about your life? And I just was like, oh my gosh, I would just live my life.
I want to dive into that for just a second, because it really does come down to this false sense of control.
Yeah.
Even if it's not about your potential marriage one day, I think body image in general can go even deeper than that for a lot of people, and people who are married and people who are moms, and even people who are like, no, it's not really about me getting married. Sometimes when our whole world feels out of control, when we feel depressed, when we feel anxious, when we feel afraid, the one thing that we can control is food.
Yeah.
And so some people take their stress out on cleaning and they have spotless houses.
I wish that was me.
I know, it's not me.
When
either.
I get stressed, my roommates are like, Nicoletta, your room. And I'm like, you think I have time to do this right now? I'm like, I literally am like, shirt on the floor, go. Like, I just am totally, like, I'm like, totally. My mind is so, and it's crazy. If I shared a room with someone though, totally different story. Like, the kitchen is always clean because it's like, this is a communal space.
Because you're mindful of other people.
Exactly. But if it's like my room, pff, on the ground, whatever. It's not dirty. And I don't know. We're working
what's
on
so,
it.
What's so fun. I know, I'm like, I'm a messy person too. Colby's the clean one of our house. I like, know that. Everyone knows that. You know that. Everyone here knows that.
We're
no,
hot
No, you guys
messes.
Know that too. We yep. really are.
We're hot mess express.
I'm scattered. Yes. I'm a little scattered. Somehow I've managed to get my life together and still be really responsible.
I mean, this podcast studio, you did this.
I mean, yeah.
It's amazing.
I like people, I think it surprises some of my friends every time I like pull something together, because I always, but I'm also a P on the like personality. I'm ENFP. I'm a 7-wing A.
Come on.
I thrive in the last minute. I do stuff like you all the time. Like, oh yeah, I wrote this entire talk in advance and I just changed it last night. So why am I writing them all in advance?
Yeah, literally. Why did I spend 12 hours on this lesson plan when exactly. I totally changed it? But anyway, I totally interrupted you.
We're like, both a little bit kind of creative.
Squirrely.
Like, but squirrely.
I know. Honestly, I did not tell. Maybe I told the girls in Costa Rica. I was like, oh, I totally switched this lesson plan. I had a totally different thing planned for this morning, and we went totally in a different direction.
People think it's like, people can look at that and like our personality traits in this and think, oh, that's like not put together, not responsible, not whatever.
Spirit led.
Exactly. There is so much in the work world that you squash when you're forcing everyone to do X, Y, and Z these exact ways. Going back to Psalm 139.
Come on,
like,
baby.
God created everyone different. Like, you need to be leading your people differently. I did not say that for y'all to get mad at your bosses. There's so much on leading under people that are hard to work for.
But okay, I feel like you had a really good thought with Psalm 139.
So here's what works. Or here's what's really important is when you gain that sense of control over your body, over your home, whatever it is, when you gain that sense of control, it's going away. The second you gain the weight back, the second you whatever, and then you've just gotten yourself into a deeper hole than where you were.
Of so less control than you actually had before.
Yeah. And you haven't actually addressed the root issue, which is your heart is, you are looking to find security in something outside of Jesus. And I do this. Like, we all do this in ways that we don't realize. So it's why Psalm 139 says, search me, O Lord, know my anxious thoughts, test me, see if there's any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. God, because we know, like, we are desperate for the Lord's guidance in that, because we're going to fall victim to those things. But what happens is later in life, if you have basically gotten by being able to control your body and being able to say, like, hey, I basically have an eating disorder, but I look great. People comment on it. People praise me for it. I've gotten the guy. And now here I am, a mom with a busy schedule, with my body just went through all these changes, and I can't control that. Yeah. I cannot control, physically cannot control the way my belly looks after having a kid.
Yeah.
You can't.
Unless you get liposuction.
Exactly. Well, you can't even get that right away. You know,
yeah.
Especially not if you're breastfeeding. Like, are you kidding me? And that's really expensive, probably.
Yes.
But like, so anyways, outside of surgery, still you've dug yourself into a hole by not addressing this when you were single, which we've talked about this on an episode before, of now you don't really know how to deal when you feel out of control, and the spiraling has compounded. So now you've got issues on top of your issues.
Yeah.
So it's really important not to grasp for that now.
Yes.
Like, I think there is something healthy into like pouring yourself into something and being like, hey,
totally,
I have the margin right now to work out a little bit more than I, you know, and that's okay. But the motives really do matter. And, and really like search yourself. Am I trying to control something in my life that feels out of control right now?
Yes.
Where do I need to rest my security on the Lord? The other thing I was going to say in Psalm 139 is, how offensive is it when we look at ourselves in the mirror, we forget that we are God's creation. We look at ourselves in the mirror and start thinking like, oh, all these things need to be changed and fixed and all this sucks. And God's like, wait a second, you're talking about my creation.
Yep, yep.
We would never look at somebody else who did, you know, who created something. Well, actually, this could be why we do it, because we actually do critique other things that people made.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so offensive. It's just so offensive. Like, God is a perfect creator.
Yeah.
There is no flaw in him. He is the perfect creator. And I feel like you have so much to say on this.
I can't wait.
But no, truly, I think we need to zoom out and remember, like, wait a second, I'm not my own. I was bought with a price, scriptures say.
Yeah.
So honor God with your body. Spot with a price. That also means the way that I think about my body.
It's not just how you treat it.
Not how you treat it.
Thoughts are actually the most powerful thing, because if you think you're overweight, you will act on it. Like, thoughts always come first and then action follows.
Yeah.
So if the solution is not a workout program or a diet, it's fixing your thoughts.
Yeah.
That's priority. Keep going.
Yeah. And really rooting, it's like thoughts lead to feelings, and feelings lead to behaviors.
Yeah.
And I think we need to step back and realize God is the one who created us. Like, we are offending God when we go on this spiral of negative self-talk, when we talk about all the things we hate about ourselves.
Yeah.
It's kind of like that Mean Girls
scene where you're like picking yourself apart. Yeah,
my pores are so huge. Yes. And then they look over and she's like,
have
bad breath in the morning. Like,
but you're not actually criticizing your body. You're criticizing the
Lord's creation,
because you are a reflection of him.
Yeah.
And so you need to actually realize, wow, I'm not critiquing Nicoletta's body. I'm critiquing the King of the Universe's body, because we are on, like, this body's on loan. He has given it to us as a gift to steward, not to be skinny.
Yeah.
And it's just so convicting when you're like, oh my gosh, like, I'm not picking apart mine. And I always say this, if you borrowed your best friend's body for a week, like, let's say that I borrowed Laura's body for a week, would I stand in the mirror and be like, Laura, you're so disgusting. All right, we're going to go for a 10-mile run. Your body's like, seriously, you had a baby. Look at this, disgusting. We're going to go for a run. We're not going to eat. And when I return it to Laura in a week from now, how do I want to return it? Do I want to return it underfed, overexhausted? Hey, don't worry, Laura, I skipped the cake at the birthday party. You'd be like, what? And I only ate lettuce. It's like, no, like, the Lord is like, this body's a gift. Honor it, enjoy it, live life in it, run, like, do fun things. And I love 1 Peter 1:24-25. It says, all flesh is like grass in all its glory, like the flower of the grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And basically the point is, the gym, the body, it all withers. And what we're seeking is like grass. Like grass doesn't last forever.
The temporary. It's kind of what temporary. You were mentioning earlier.
Yes. And it even, I love this too. Romans 1:25, it says, they exchanged the truth about God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator. And it's like, dear gosh, which one are you worshiping more? Like if someone were to get a deep look into the way you think about food, eat, work out, pick your body apart in the mirror, would they say, man, that girl loves Jesus? Or they say that she loves herself more.
And or I is obsessed because a lot of people are like, it's hate, hatred, and it's all kind of rooted in the same thing.
Exactly. And I think, and this was a big, big piece that we talked about in Costa Rica. I'm like, the goal needs to be, is this honoring? Because then we can go down the deep dive of like, well, what's the line? Like, am I allowed to work out? Am I allowed to go on a diet? Like, am I allowed to want to lose weight as a Christian? And we did an episode with a dietitian, I think a year ago, of like, is wanting to lose weight a sin? Go listen to it, all the things. But my life has really changed of like, okay, is eating this cookie honoring to the Lord right now?
Nico.
Is doing this workout honoring to the Lord? Why am I working out? I'm working out because I've got a lot of energy and I want to blow up some steam. Be free. I'm working out because I ate a cookie and I feel fat. Okay, I understand wanting to feel better, but do you believe that exercise is something you have to do because you ate a cookie?
Like, is it punishment?
Is it punishment? Because once again, I always go back to the lenses of your daughter. If your daughter came home from school and said, Mommy, I need to go put my running shoes on and go for a run. And I go, baby, why? Well, I had a cupcake at the birthday party today. I would literally get on my knees, like grab her by the face and be like, you do not need to burn off a cupcake.
I want to say this really quick because I think some people actually did have moms who did that.
For sure. And my mom did.
Yeah.
Unintentionally. Like truly unintentionally.
Yeah, they mean well. And I'm really sorry. Healing is possible. It is. And you have a father, a perfect father in heaven who can reparent you. And there are godly earthly people here who can reparent you and just kind of rewrite some of those harsh words that you've been told, some of the lies that you believe from parental figures. And I'm really sorry.
And it's just what I really learned is just so much grace and compassion because my mom isn't the problem. It was her grandma who her it's grandma good. And her it's grandma. Good. And my biggest goal for Noble is that I want to break generational curses. And what's so crazy is that we see in Genesis 3 that we literally see our world fell to sin from woman, food, and control. And then immediately they covered up in shame. Mm-hmm. And how often do we cover up in shame based on what we eat? How often do we cover up in shame based on the fact that we don't work out? How often do we cover up? Like, I'm so guilty of this. Wearing baggy clothing after a big night of indulgence, I cover up in shame. But one girl, I love this. I literally wrote this down. I'm like, girl, I'm going to make an Instagram post on this. She just said it flippantly. And she goes, every healthy body will look different.
So good.
And I loved that because it's true. If you are healthy, your body is going to look different. Like, your body is healthy. It looks very different than mine. You had a kid. Like, your body is healthy for the fact that you had a kid less than 2 years ago.
My body is really healthy. Exactly. It looks so different.
But
than
we
it used
think
to.
That healthy looks like a Victoria's Secret model.
Yeah.
That's a lie. Like, where, freaking pull up the Bible and show me where it says in the Bible that you need to have this type of body to, in order to look good and in order to be healthy. Jesus says you are wonderful. And that was when you were unformed. Like, when are we going to get that into our mind that we are wonderful today? We were wonderful yesterday and we are wonderful tomorrow. We are not wonderful when we lose weight. We are not wonderful when we follow a perfect diet. We are not wonderful when we follow a perfect workout routine. And I'm just so passionate about this because I saw these women in Costa Rica from all different stories. And my favorite thing ever was there was a few girls from Noble who have gone through it at TCU. And they were the few that were like, oh, I don't think about this anymore.
That's
because
so good.
Of Noble.
What a testament.
Because I've gone through this program. And I'm like, God, you are so freaking kind to allow me to remind women of truth. And I'm not perfect. Like, I literally was on my knees praying before this trip going, God, like, you've got to give me new eyes.
Yeah.
And I gave a talk a couple weeks ago at TCU, and it was over Mark 8, and it talked about the blind man being able to see. And it's about how the Lord spit in the mud, put mud on his eyes. And I basically got to talk to these women. And I'm thinking I'm going to put it on YouTube. Stay tuned. They recorded it, whatever. But it was just like, are you blind? Like, are you blind? Do you need healing? Because I know for me that I was blind majority of my life. And Jesus literally wants to heal your eyes. But you have to ask. Do you believe that he wants to? Do you believe that he can touch your eyes and make them new, where you look in the mirror and you see what he sees? But oftentimes we don't pray for that. We instead then just restrict food and go for a run.
Yeah.
Because we think healing comes from changing this rather than going, no, God, what you made is good. I don't believe that, but help my disbelief. Literally heal my eyes. And I'm so guilty of it. My whole life has been following culture. It has been, I'm going to do this and do that so that my eyes are healed. But no, the Lord's like, no, just ask me. If someone can touch my cloak and be healed, why can't I do the same thing for you?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, I can.
There's so much.
I'm so freaking passionate about this. And I'm so excited because also, I really do believe that Noble's going to be a retreat model.
Like, I love it. No, I want to hear about that stuff.
No, literally, I'm like, Lord, you are opening up retreat after retreat. Like, we just booked a trip for Telluride next year.
I love it. Okay, I want to hear. I got so many questions.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm like so passionate about this.
Some of this I've already heard, but like, I want them to hear it. Like,
yeah.
I felt like a phony earlier because I'm sitting here like, oh, cool. I'm like, wait, I already know that? But you're telling them for the first time and I'm kind of like reliving it like I haven't heard it before or something. Anyways, one thing I do want to say,
yeah, please,
which I think is important here in this sphere, is that God has also laid wisdom in the foundations of the earth. And with that, there is wisdom to, like, you can see the effects of not eating well.
Totally.
You can see the effects of not stewarding your body. And that can be control on the other end of the spectrum.
Yes.
Where you're like, what I can control is food in the way that I overindulge.
Comfort.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, I don't want to work out, so I won't.
Totally.
And that's what I certainly don't want y'all to hear. Once again, it always goes back to honoring.
Yeah, I love
keep
that.
Going.
No, I love that you keep bringing it back to like, what is honoring? That's really good.
Because I'm like, for you, honoring is getting off the couch. Yeah. For you, honoring is eating a salad.
I was like, you talking to me?
Get off the couch, girl. But like, honoring is being on a diet. I don't even like the word diet. I gotta say
this, because we have this joke that like, Nicoletta is like, what do moms do? Like, don't you guys just like sit and like watch TV all day? Which all the moms are like,
I know. I don't think you watch TV all day. I do wonder what you do at home all day, though. I'm like, what is she doing all day at home?
It's so funny.
She has sent me so many TikToks of like, here's what mom's days look like.
Okay, Colby was homesick the other day.
Okay.
And by 9 a.m., he, even just hearing everything that was going on. So mind you, Oakley wakes up at like 7:30.
Okay.
So by 9 a.m., Colby was like, oh my gosh. I just didn't realize, because you are going nonstop. You just go nonstop. I don't know how else to explain it. I probably could, but you won't understand it until you're there, and that's okay. But anyways, this is running joke because Nicoletta is like the stereotypical single girl who's like, what do moms even do? Like, don't you have endless time to just do all this
stuff?
And
I'm like, why don't you hire a nanny? I don't understand.
Sponsor is so I can hire one. No, I
savage.
I
wanna, I'm just kidding. I won't hire a nanny. I'll just hire my mom. My mom is like, will be dropping your child off at my house.
That's the thing. Yeah. If we had parents in town, gosh, it makes it so much better. Because you don't want to just pass them off. You want something that they're going to be able to build relationships that are meaningful as totally. Well. So it kind of stinks. But anyways, it stinks if you care about the development of your kid, you know?
Just kidding. I will love my own children. Literally, people are always like, Nicoletta, are you going to even have kids? I'm like, okay.
You'll do yes, great. No, you
I will have
great.
Children. I am excited. The idea of like raising a daughter in a way that like honors and loves her body fires me up. The idea of raising a son who is wildly in love with Jesus and tell him that like sharing the gospel really is the most fulfilling thing on the planet Earth. That fires me up. Do I see a baby and want to hold them? No. But I'm like, that's because I want to hang out with high schoolers and college girls all day.
I'm not like that either.
Oh, but I feel bad. Some people are like, oh, you're just, and I'm like, no. Savage. No, savage.
Yeah, you'll get there.
I will love my own children. Thank you. But okay, I do want to add this to it too. This was a big topic we talked a lot about in Costa Rica was, I just think that we always focus on the wrong questions. And here's what I mean
Explain
by
more.
That. I think we always are going, well, can I be on a diet? Can I work out this way? Can I do this? And it's kind of like how far is too far when it comes to sex.
Yeah.
We're asking the wrong questions. And I think so often we are focusing more on the symptoms rather than the root issue. And what I've realized is that exercise and dieting was a solution that I clung to when the root was man's approval or not trusting the Lord, not trusting in what he said about me, not trusting in what, who he is. And I think so often we just focus on the food and the workout. And if we just get this right, then this gets right. But no, we need to focus on the root. Like, what do you actually believe? And that's what I really, I mean, there was a few girls that I like pushed back on.
I love that.
And I was like, one girl I even had to apologize. I'm like, hey, I pushed back pretty hard on you because I'm like, I don't agree with you. Because like, you're sitting here saying that like, no, like I will never be viewed as beautiful. Like no guy will ever choose me unless I look this way. Mm-hmm. And I was like, where in the Bible does it say that? Like your problem is not a better diet. Your problem is not a better body. It's literally going, who is God and what does he say about me? And you pushed back on this a couple episodes ago and I loved it because we talked about singleness and we talked about despair. And so I just was like, yeah, if you're discontent in singleness, it's because you don't believe this. But I think we changed it into like, if you're in despair over singleness, yeah, that is where you're not believing in who God is and what he says about you. But I also believe strongly, if you believe that God is in control of your life, if you believe that he has good in store for you, if you believe that what he made is not a mistake, you don't diet anymore. You don't, not, there's a, I don't even like the word dieting, honestly. I just think honoring. Like, mm-hmm. Is this honoring? Is it more honoring to have a burger and fries or is it more honoring to have a salad? Hey, I know that I'm going to get margaritas tonight. Maybe a little more honoring to have a salad for lunch. Doesn't mean that you're right or wrong. There's no black and white with food. Literally in 1 Timothy, it says, if you approach food with thankfulness, be free. Because in the Old Testament, this is interesting. Once again, the Bible talks a ton about food. In the Old Testament, there were clean and unclean food. But then when Jesus came dead on the cross, he put away the rules and was like, hey, like, approach food with gratefulness. Approach the table with thankfulness. There is no longer clean and unclean food. And we see that a lot of that dialogue in the New Testament is that the Pharisees would come up and be like, I see that your disciples are eating this on the Sabbath. I see that they are doing this. Like, how can this be okay? And he goes, I came to abolish the law. And that includes clean and unclean
foods.
Well,
he says, I came to fulfill it.
Sorry, thank you. Yeah. Yes, fulfill it. And I'm like, it talks about good and bad foods in the Bible. Like literally Genesis 1, we see it right after he declared man and woman very good. He goes, and I give you every type of food, every type of plant, every type of animal, and it is yours for food. And I'm just like, gosh, we think that the Bible's outdated around body image, fitness, and food. It literally talks about, in the same chapter, it talks about if you approach food with gratefulness, it also says physical training is of some value, working out is of some value, but godliness is value for this life and the next. And I'm just, oh,
I love it.
Talk about this all day.
People need to slow this down because we have 15 lessons all in one, but I love that you know so much about food and body image and how, like, there's so many things that explicitly talk about food, and there are so many things that just have a general application where it's not necessarily the main point or like the overarching truth, but it has an application in body image.
Yes.
Yeah, I love that. You know so much about it, and you're well studied. I'm really proud of you. Okay, I feel like there's so much from your trip, and you gave us some snippets, and I know there's way too much to process in our episode.
Literally got back like 48
But the girls
hours
are like,
ago.
Please give us 5 million hour episodes every single time.
Oh my gosh, that was one of my favorite parts. Okay, if you missed it, this was actually
so justified.
No, literally. So okay, this is the debate if you missed it on. So this is one of me and Laura's biggest conflicts, truly.
Oh, it's not actual conflict.
It's conflict. I believe firmly in this. I believe, like, I will put my foot in the sand.
Okay, you literally, you want to tell me something? You've been mad at me about it?
Clearly, I put my foot in the sand and I got destroyed. In the sand of Costa Rica. So we're sitting on the white sandy beaches and I'm like, y'all, me and Laura have this conflict. And I believe
that
shorter episodes are better. But Laura's always like, no, we need longer and we need to hear what y'all think. Majority of girls were like, longer is better. And I'm like, I don't listen to episodes over 50 minutes. I literally don't because I forget about it. I forget my spot and then I give up. And only like two girls agreed with me, but the rest were like, we want more of your wisdom. But I'm like, ugh. Like,
okay,
I don't know.
Here's the only reason I said it. The data. The longest episodes we have are the highest listened to things. So we've had this whole thing. There's like a marketing thing of part one and part two. People like fall off. We used to just like cut our episodes. I didn't feel that strongly about it. But then when I realized like our only episode that's over an hour is now our highest episode. was like, oh shoot, we really actually need to press into this. But I didn't know that people were that passionate about it.
No, they were very passionate. Like, you guys need to make longer episodes. When I see you drop a 30-minute one every week, I'm sad. I'm like, oh, you freaking kidding me. So I was, I'm in the wrong.
So I didn't know Nico and I had conflict till this moment.
We're hashing it out.
What do I need to ask for forgiveness for?
She's always, here's the funny thing about me and Laura. I always call it conflict, but it's just like, she does all the marketing analytics. Like, I don't know what's like right and what's wrong. I just know from my personal experience, I'm like, I'm not clicking on
that. I just think
that.
It's funny that you're calling it conflict because it's like, it's really just we disagree.
Yes. You know what LOL. I mean? That probably shows some trauma from my past relationships.
I'm like, maybe I need to go to counseling.
Literally, totally. Yeah, that is actually a word. I'm like, unless I look like, back.
Unless you're journaling about me, like, I'm so mad at Laura.
Dear Jesus, help me to forgive Laura.
For her long episodes. Like,
no, but y'all are getting it today. We're going over 30 minutes. You're welcome.
I guess I have the Noble Girls to thank. Thank you, Noble Girls.
Thank you, Noble Girlies. I know. I feel like you need to come and be a part
no,
of
I really, like, I felt slightly there, but I wasn't there.
One girl goes, I thought Laura for sure was going to make an appearance.
Oh, my gosh. That makes me so happy. I'm getting tendy.
And I was like, girl, she got a baby.
Hey, I will pack my baby up and go to Costa Rica. Once I get $2,000 for the flight.
I was like, girl, this was a girl's trip with all the peeps, but you know, you
okay,
know,
all
always
right. Now
welcome.
We're having conflict because now what you're thinking is like, this is a girl's trip without the babies.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
I'm also not offended by that. I know you well enough. Listen, I love that our relationship, like, we know each other enough to just be like, all right, here's what you're thinking. And I'm not offended. You'll get it. You'll get it one day.
You'll get it
I
one day.
I can't wait for the day that you're towing around a baby to our speaking gigs. And you're like, Laura, I understand now. Will you please forgive me?
Girl, here's the thing. No, my baby will be with Patricia Bradley and she will not be with me because I'm like, I can't do both things. I'm so squirrely that or mom will come with me. But you also don't have your family in town.
You'll see,
that's hard.
Well, you'll see different things. You'll see different things too because there's this whole like, basically your family is your first ministry. And so there's this whole, like so many people have grown up with parents in ministry who are really wounded because their parents invested so much in other people and not in them. And so there really is this like, some of our generation is rising up and saying, we're actually going to parent differently. We're not going to be the ones who say, kids sit at home. I'm going to do ministry. We're like, you are my ministry. Come along
I
with
agree
me.
With that.
Come along with me to this thing.
I agree
you know
with
what
that.
I mean?
Like, I do agree with that.
So you'll like, I think your perspective will change and things will shift when you get there to yourself. Cause it feels more weighty when it's your kid and you feel all the pressure and responsibility to do everything in your power to lead them well. The same way you feel that pressure and responsibility to lead these girls well, you'll feel that one day.
I have heard that when you have a kid, your ministry changes. And yeah. I'm excited for that day. And I believe that will happen. Just right now, I'm like, or I could go to Costa Rica with 20s and 30-year-olds and have a really good time.
Hey, listen, the moms love trips without the kids, too. So there's that.
Come on.
I'm not a regular mom. I'm a cool mom. I really feel like I'm dressed basically like the mom in Mean Girls anyways.
You're like not wrong. Like, especially the newer Mean Girls. Did you see the new Mean Girls?
We watched half of it the other day, and it was we almost like couldn't stop watching because it was such a train wreck.
It was a train wreck.
It was such a train wreck. But I was with my niece, Sophia, and we were literally like, we would just look over each other and be like, we can't stop watching. It's so bad.
It's so bad, but it's so good.
Okay, wait. No, I really actually need to hear some of the noble takeaways. Like, tell me, there were 20 girls, right?
No, 12 total.
12?
Yeah. Okay. It was honestly, though, the perfect
That's
number.
That's intimate. That's really
I
sweet.
I feel like 16 would be the max, unless I, by God's grace, had one of my friends come with me, Madison, who's amazing. And then another girl, she just totally stepped up in a leadership role. But I 100% was like, I need women.
Need help.
I need women to come with me. Because let's say like this girl's having a hard time and I'm with these group of girls over here. Like, I feel like you need a leader to every four girls. Because yeah. I just want every girl to feel
to
seen.
Have and to have, yeah, that's really good.
You know what I'm saying? And so I'm excited for the upcoming. And it's been like so cool, Laura, to see Laura.
Is anybody else wondering if she's going to invite me? Is that just me?
Of course, you're literally invited anytime. All the girls were asking about you. I said, they were like, where's Laura?
No, I would literally invite myself to anything that you're doing. So I don't feel bad.
I'll pay for you when I one day make enough money to
you're
pay for you.
Just like rolling in it.
Rolling in it. But no, truly, I feel like the Lord is making Noble the retreat model.
I love that.
And
I'm really excited.
So excited.
Okay, I want to hear takeaways though.
Gosh.
Because I want to hear all the logistical things like that too. And I know that people do, but I want to hear the girls on the trip. I feel like this is a life-changing trip. You know what I mean? I feel like God is so in stuff like this in a really tangible way that I'm just like, give me all of the juice. Like, give me the tea, girl. I want to hear what were some things people said? Like, hey, I'm walking away from this trip, you know, here's what God taught me or whatever.
I think one thing that, I mean, you know that I'm really passionate about is you have to get quiet with God in order to hear his voice. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I just was really like, are you getting alone with Jesus? Are you getting alone with Jesus? And one girl said, because at the very last day, I made them leave their phones on their mats and spread out across the beach. And I said, go sit with the Lord. Like, whatever that looks like for you, go sit with the Lord. And one girl, she goes, I didn't realize how much my phone made me not think.
Wow.
And it was really refreshing to actually think. And like, it's so true, because when we get on our phones, we're just numbing. You know what I mean? I'm guilty of this. I get on my phones and I'm like, I'm just going to scroll so that I don't have to think about my to-do list. But there's something really powerful when you actually stop the scroll. You stop the thoughts and you're like, whoa, God, like, what do you think about this? And so I thought that was really powerful of just going, I'm never quiet. I'm never still. I'm always going. But wow, there's a lot of power in the silence and the solitude. And that's what I made girls do over and over and over again. And so I think a lot of girls, when I asked what was so at the very... We had a bus ride to the airport and I asked, what was your favorite thing? What's 1 ounce of feedback? And what's your biggest takeaway? And I love this because all of their favorite feedback was, I wish it was longer. And I was like,
is there a treat?
Yes. And I was like, that is so great. And like, one thing was like a little more consistent structure, I think was one of the feedbacks. And I totally get that. I'm like, oh girl, you know this about me. I'm like, if we do 9:30 or 10, let's flex. But other people
we're
are like,
both
no.
Not the structure people.
Yes, because I like to be flexible. But some girls are like, hey, I really like to know that it starts at 10. I'm like, fair enough. And so now I know that I'm going to have workbooks at the next one. I'm going to print out a schedule for the next one. A little more like, here's your materials. But one girl said, I realized for the first time in my entire life that I don't need to lose weight. And my heart was just like, that's so true. Like, and I know we talked about that in the beginning of the episode of just like, when you actually realize like, I don't have to lose weight, that only culture is telling me I have to. Like the Lord, once again, is not telling me I have to. And when we did the night under the stars, some of the girls were like, people aren't judging me and everyone is going through the same thing. And that vulnerability creates freedom. And I think so often we're ashamed of the things that we're going through, ashamed of the things that we're feeling, when in reality, vulnerability is what changes you. And when you can raise your hand and say, me too, there's power in that. But you have to first confess what you're going through in order for somebody to be able to say, me too. Otherwise, the enemy's going to come in and say, you're the only one dealing with this. You're such a failure for going through this. I can't believe you had those thoughts. But in reality, we say like, man, I had this thought today. The girl, I mean, there's no way that anything I've ever thought that you couldn't say like, hey, I get that. And my friend Madison, she runs a social media account called Me Too Sister. And her whole thing is like, I've gone through it. Me too, sister. And I just feel like the Lord, it was the best group of girls, like the best group of girls. And I just prayed that every girl would be friends. And I feel like we were a community. And I loved also is that if you've been following along, you know that Noble up until this point has been 5-week programs, been renting a gym, did it in your backyard, where we do a workout, Bible study. And I believe to my core that we got closer in 5 days than the girls got in 5 weeks.
Yeah, of course.
Because my dad is all, yes, my dad, best piece of advice my dad always gave me, he goes, if you can say yes to a weekend retreat, say yes, because a weekend retreat is equivalent to 20 coffee dates with one person.
Yes.
And I just was like, gosh, that's so good. Because I mean, we had breakfast together. We had beach time together. We had dinner together. We had roommates together. And so I just feel like, man, really, truly, if you're asking about takeaways, yes, those are some of them. But the main one that every single girl said was get alone with God. And that's what I'm going to challenge the girls who maybe never come on a Noble retreat. Maybe that's turning off this podcast right now and going, I'm going to quiet the noise. Put your phone on do not disturb. Open up your journals. Close your eyes. Invite God in. Oh my gosh. Can we like end with this? This is like the most beautiful thing ever.
Yeah. And let me just say this. Like, it's going to be uncomfortable at first. So you should know that. Like,
so
it's
uncomfortable.
Gonna be uncomfortable. And it's okay.
Literally
sit in that for a second.
I yesterday was so tired. I have not been feeling great since I got back, and I sat with the Lord in silence and I was like, this is all I have to give you, God. Like, the idea of reading my Bible right now, I feel like would create the spins. And I got quiet with the Lord. This is absolutely insane. I got quiet with the Lord, closed my eyes, and just started like praying. And I felt like he gave me a vision. Oh my gosh. Image. I don't know. We're going there. And all of a sudden, it was this picture of I was at the retreat or the at the hotel and all the girls had gone. And I walked down the beach and I sat in a chair and I saw Jesus come and sit next to me. And I just felt like I was like, Lord, what do you want me to know about this trip? And he was like, that I was with you the whole time. And I heard that throughout the week. Every time I would pray it, I'd be like, what do you want me to know? And he's like, I'm with you. And then all of a sudden, I started having all these flashbacks of all these moments in the trip. And I saw where Jesus was sitting in every moment. And so I saw when we were doing the workout that he was at a yoga mat right next to me. And I saw that when we huddled up, he was sitting next to me, giving me the words to say. And then this was the most beautiful piece, is that I saw him when I made all the girls spread out and go in different places on the beach. I saw him sitting with every single girl individually. And it was this crazy picture of, we always read in the Bible, like, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'm with you. Do not fear. You know what I mean? Like I, Psalm 23, I will guide you. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. But we don't actually believe that he's with us. Because when things are hard, when we're scared, we're like, God is nowhere near me. But I go, I just feel like for the first time, he gave me this visual of going, I was with you every single moment, but I was also with every single girl. And even had this moment of like, when you're on the sandy beaches, I was on the beach mat next to you. When the girls were riding horses, I was with them. Why? Because I love you. Why? Because I love them. And every single lesson you gave, I was whispering in your ear and I allowed you to speak through. And I just got on my knees and I literally go, Jesus, all glory to you. If any girl gained anything from retreat, if anybody gains anything from Call Her Holy, if anybody sees anything about my life, let them go, oh my gosh, Jesus is great. I'm not the one building the stage. You are there. I am pointing to you. And it was interesting because to encourage you, like, we're making a difference on this podcast in a way I didn't even know, because I told these girls, I'm like, me and Laura just show up and then we leave and whatever. But these girls were like, no, like, you have shown me Jesus. And I'm like, I hope that's all you get from me and Laura, that it's not me and Laura, but like, man, Jesus.
Yeah.
And like, we are simply building him a stage to make his name bigger, because it's not about me and Laura. Mm-hmm. Don't give us the credit. Like, we see that in 1 Corinthians, Paul goes, like, all glory to him. Mm-hmm. Like, I am just a servant. Like, Laura and I are simply servants. But it was this beautiful picture of just like, I feel like the Lord showed me, I am with you every moment. I was with those girls in every moment. And if they gained anything from you, it's because I was whispering in your ear and you were my mouthpiece. If they gained anything from quiet times, it's because I was whispering into their ear, my hand was on their back. It had nothing to do with you, Nicoletta. You were just putting the trip on, but I was orchestrating everything. And it was just so beautiful. And then I just looked at Jesus like, let's do crazy things, Jesus. Like, let me be the builder of your stage and I'll do whatever you want. And then, LOL, this is hilarious. I called my mom and I was like, Mom, I think that retreats are going to be the model for Noble. And she goes, but what about getting married and having kids? And I was like, Mom, like, technically, this would probably be the best solution with kids, because then you're only gone for a few weekends out of the year and then you call it a day. But I just was like, Mom, this is so much more important than kids in a marriage. This is so much more important. These girls aren't hearing the gospel for the first time. Stop putting pressure on me to get married. If God wants me to be married, I'll be married. I'm praying bold prayers over who the Lord has for me, but it's not the priority. The goal of my life, the reason I'm on this planet, is to make his name bigger, to build him a stage. And if I get to be on it, I hope that literally I tell them, Jesus is with you. Like, Jesus is literally with you. In Psalm 46, it says, God is within her. She will not fall. He will help her at the break of dawn. And I just felt like the Lord was like, I was with you every single moment. And I started the second you woke up, but I also never left your bedside. I was with you at night. I was with you in the beginning and I'll be with you in the end. And I love you. And I could keep going, but I'm just so passionate about this. Anyways, that's
all. It's so good. No, I love it. I love your passion. I could keep listening to you. I love that God, I think so much in your ministry, Nicoletta, in our ministry and ministry in general, like God, we think that God is just using us, and no, part of it is he's also loving us and teaching us and growing us. And it's really, really cool to have a front row seat to watch him change other people's lives. It's the best seat in the house.
Truly.
And I think that's kind of what you were touching on earlier in our podcast studio. Like, we don't get to see you guys. We're looking at cameras right now. Like,
we have no idea who's watching or listening. It's me and Laura and Abigail.
When we get to experience a little piece of how God is using us showing up and talking to a mic how God is using that in your life, like, it is incredible. It is incredibly valuable, incredibly precious. It doesn't fill our ego. It reminds us why we're doing what we're doing, you know, because the lights and the cameras are not for us. Like, they really aren't.
Yeah.
And if you want a like practical prayer to apply what Nicoletta was just saying, if you're like, wow, that's a really noble thing to say, you know, get it.
See what you did there.
One thing that has really, I think, carried me through any kind of platform or attention, anything like that. Like, I have consistently, like, felt like God gave me this prayer a long time ago. When they see me, I pray they'd see you.
Amen, sister.
Just pray it. Like, when they see me, I pray they'd see you. And I think sometimes that, like, because I think there are a lot of girls also who are listening to that Nicoletta saying, like, I'd love to do that. Like, God, I need that to be able to be purposeful. I need that. And it's like, no, everyone's ministry looks so different. Yeah. And if the Lord is calling you there, you better get rid of all those fears and get up and do it.
Yeah.
And, or work, like, push through the fears and just do it. But if the Lord is not calling you there, do not grasp, do not try, you know, like, if the Lord is calling you to marriage and a family, wait for it.
Yeah.
If the Lord is calling you to X, Y, and Z, or to be unseen in a season, wait for it. You just don't want something that God doesn't want. Anyways, so I want to hear so much more now about Noble. I'm really proud of you. I'm really proud of Jesus in you.
Thanks, girl.
Is like shining straight through you.
Yep.
You're going to do Noble retreats some more, right?
Yeah. And so this is not a promotion, but if you actually want to be updated, obviously I'm going to post about it on my Instagram, but probably the most effective way to be in the know is just going to runoble.com and just put your email in. Trust me, I'm not efficient enough to be sending you a lot of emails, but I will send you emails of like, this is where we're going next. And so I mentioned we're going to Telluride next year to be skiing. I really want to do Scottsdale where we hike. And then we're also probably going to go to Africa. So it's getting crazy. Like, God's just like doing things, but you need to get your email in because social media gets wonky. But I think I want to end with this is that this was a big question I got asked over and over and over again throughout the retreat is like, how did you get to where you are? How did you become like start a nonprofit? How did you start Call It Holy? And I literally looked at every single girl and I said, every single day I woke up and I said, what does faithfulness look like for today? Good. It says, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough worries of its own. And James 4, it says, instead of saying that I will go to this town and I will do this, instead we have to ask, like, Lord, what do you have for me today? And if it's the Lord's will, I will do those things. And so for the girl that has big dreams, big aspirations to do a podcast, a ministry, whatever it is, start with today. Hey, God, what does faithfulness look like? When I started fitness, it looked like working at Lululemon. When I graduated TCU, it looked like working at a spin studio in their real retail center. And by God's grace and kindness, I started a nonprofit. But this has been a 10-year journey.
Yeah.
And so I really want you to hear that it's so easy to see people that you want to be like and go, wow, it just happened for them overnight. No, me and Laura did Call Her Holy once a month for a really long time. And we just got a podcast studio. And so faithfulness is success. Success is not a stage. Success is not having a podcast. Faithfulness, because you will be so much more joyful going, I was faithful to what the Lord called me, rather than building a stage for yourself that God never asked you to build.
And I think a good clarifier there is like, if you can't not do it, like that's how you know that's a calling from God.
Love that.
For me, like even if Call Her Holy like started getting canceled or I don't know, somebody came at us from every different direction. Like Colby knows this, like I can't not do this because I would stand before God and have to say, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I was disobedient. Yep. Like there's something in me that is like, I could have stayed on staff at Watermark and done that plus parenting. But I was like, I have to do this. So I think that's a good, we should do a whole episode on that or like people who want to do ministry or even other dreams, things like that.
Come on. And if you don't know yet, you don't need to know yet. I've been living by that line. You will know. Like me and Laura knew it was time to build a podcast studio, but 3 months ago, we didn't know that. And so if you don't know yet, you don't need to know yet.
It's good. Ah, we love y'all.
We love you guys.
Thank you much. This has been really fun. And we're both like delusional. I don't know how we made it through this episode.
Man, Abigail are like main squeeze in the room. I'm so curious to see. She was like, you guys were just bouncing off the walls or were we like fade in?
We don't know. We're going to watch this back and be like, whoa.
There she is.
I had like a really cool quote that I wanted to read but I'm going to read it in a different episode. It's going to be really cool.
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
We love you guys. Bye.